Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is our Director's Cut episode featuring Judy Becker, which has been brought to you without commercial interruption by Abstract Fiber, the best place to buy the most beautiful yarn and fiber ever. This interview is from Sock Summit in 2009, and this is Judy of Judy's Magic Cast On. But you know what? I'll have Judy tell you all about it herself. Enjoy. This week we're joined by Judy Becker. Hi, Judy.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm having a wonderful time.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about what you're teaching this weekend.
Okay.
And then launch into all sorts of other stuff.
Okay. I am teaching Judy's Magic Cast On as a one-hour wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught yesterday a class called Four Ways to Start a Toe-Up Sock,
mm-hmm.
which is actually five ways. It's a new class for me that I haven't taught before.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was making the material, getting everything ready, I realized that actually there was one way that you could do two different ways. And mm-hmm. so it's kind of four and a half ways, I guess. And then tomorrow I'm teaching a class called Judy's Magic Heels.
Nice. That sounds very promising, given how... Let's talk about the Magic Cast On just a little bit, in okay. case people aren't familiar.
Okay. The Magic Cast On is... An invisible cast-on that can be used as a provisional cast-on or can be used to start a circle or anything where you need to knit in both directions or need to start in the middle of a round of knitting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wonderful for the end of a toe-up sock.
Charming. That is awesome. We also were talking while we were setting up about how this also works for knitting a center-out shawl, like the pie shawl.
Right. That's a really fun little trick. If you use Judy's Magic Cast On to cast on six stitches, and then the first round hold the tail and the working yarn together while you knit those six stitches, then on the second round you knit each of those loops off individually, and you have done the first round increases magically.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Genius. It really is, and it works because the spacing works. The stitches aren't crowded.
Absolutely flat and beautiful.
Yep. And you end up with a little circle where right in the middle there's a couple of stitches that just kind of flow through in an S curve, and it looks really nice.
Now, how do you come up with this stuff?
Well, the Magic Cast On, is kind of a... interesting story. Some people have blown it up kind of big, but
mm-hmm.
I started knitting socks when my son was learning how to drive, and I desperately needed something to keep my hands busy, because at first he was not the most accomplished driver, shall we say, although later he became a very good driver.
Mm-hmm.
But at first, not so much, and keeping my hands busy with a sock kept me from, you know, doing something awful like grabbing the steering wheel or bailing out, perhaps. So that first sock, which actually is a horrible pair of socks, but they you know, kind of really hooked me on sock knitting. And I always knit toe-up socks because to me that's just what really makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried all of the toe-up sock cast-ons, and they all work very well.
Mm-hmm.
But for one reason or another, each of them I felt could be improved in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that the world needed a better toe-up cast-on. And I thought that there must be a way to do that. In my real life, or my other non-knitting life,
mm-hmm.
I'm a systems analyst. And so I know how to like dig in and really kind of look for the requirements and figure out how to make things work and tweak them around. So one day when I had the flu,
mm-hmm.
I was very sick. And thus, as a single working mom, that is the only time when you're not required to be doing something,
mm-hmm.
you know, something. So I was there home alone, sick, with nothing to do, and I really didn't feel good enough to do anything. So I thought, you know, I'm going to see if I can find a better cast on. And I got out all of my knitting books all the process type knitting books and spread them all around me and looked at all the cast-ons. Didn't really like anything, so I just kind of started winding yarn around my needles until all of a sudden something worked. And because I hadn't really been paying attention, I had no idea how it was I'd done it. Mm-hmm. But having done it once, I knew it could be done again. So I kept working at it until I had a technique that I could do, you know, 5 times out of 10. And then I started showing it to other people, and they thought it was pretty cool. So that's how the whole thing kind of started.
And it's actually one of my favorite, it's my favorite provisional cast on, because it's so easy. Like, it right. clearly was challenging to develop because it's so simple to do. So I really, it's one of my favorites. And even when I have challenges with the rest of the toe-up sock, I never had a problem starting it. Because once Wonderful. You get it, it's stuck.
It is. And the nice thing about it is it's very stable. So if you want it as, for example, the middle of a shawl mm-hmm. that you're going to knit out both ways, you can cast on hundreds of stitches using Judy's Magic Cast On, push them off onto the cable, you know, of your needle, and they will just stay there. Mm-hmm. You can actually take the needles out if you're careful and have a nice sticky yarn, and the little, you know, stitches will just, they'll just sit there.
I didn't realize that. Of course, I'm not brave enough to just wantonly rip my cable out of my needles.
That's why I just got that yarn. I was like, I can make a big rectangle using Judy's Cast On.
Ah. Chloe's been inspired.
Yes.
Inspiration is good.
It comes from everywhere.
It does.
So where do you get your inspiration from?
You know, that's hard to say. It comes, I think, from different places. Sometimes maybe it's a memory that I have, mm-hmm. or Portland is such a beautiful city. So there's so much lovely nature around and interesting architecture that it's hard not to be inspired living here.
Oh, you were featured in Wendy Johnson's book that we just reviewed.
Yes, she used my magic cast on.
She mm-hmm. did. And there was a whole page long thing. And I know that Kat Bordy also did the yes. YouTube videos.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, she did a wonderful YouTube video that I recommend to everybody.
You were taught yourself to crochet when you were a kid. So you've always yes. been kind of solving problems.
Yes, and my grandmother and her generation were very crafty. You know, they were Victorian ladies, and they knit and crocheted and tatted and quilted and sewed and did all of those things. But it totally skipped my mother's generation completely. So when I was interested in those kind of things, I kind of had to teach myself mm-hmm. or find somebody else who could teach me. I learned to knit from a lady in the local yarn shop who mm-hmm. did a wonderful job teaching a whole group of giggly 4-H girls how to knit.
Aww.
I know, it was really sweet.
That's awesome. So once you started knitting, mm-hmm. at some point you started doing systems analyst work. How did you get into teaching knitting and doing all this stuff?
Well, really, it was mostly from the Magic Cast On. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, first published in Knitty. Mm-hmm. And one day I got an email from Kat Bordy. And I was like, oh my God, Kat Bordy wrote me an email. And she asked, she said that she loved it and asked if it could be used in one of her books. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I was glad to let her do that. And I went to a retreat, one of her Mobius retreats, and talked with her quite a bit. And she was really instrumental in pushing me into knitting as more of a profession. Mm-hmm. And the local yarn shops in Portland have been wonderful in welcoming me in to teach. And then when Sock Summit came along, it's just, you know, like a dream to teach here. This is such a wonderful thing.
And you are, you know, appropriately, along with other rock stars. I mean, you are Judy of Judy's Magic Cast On, which is how we were introduced on Wednesday?
Yes, yes.
So you mentioned earlier that you're working on a book. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit vaguely about your book?
I could talk a little bit vaguely. The book is about all of the things that you can do with Judy's Magic Cast On that are not necessarily socks. There may be some socks in it, mm-hmm. but socks will not be the main thrust of the book or mm-hmm. the main topic. It can be used in many different ways, and I'm really looking for unique designs to be included that use it in unique ways. I'm not really that much of a designer myself. I've done some, you know, simple sock designs. So I have some wonderful designers who are going to be including their designs mm-hmm. in my book. And I've always kind of looked at knitting as an adventure. And so this book is about adventuring. I want other knitters to find that joy too. I think often, you know, knitters kind of pick up a pattern and they knit the pattern exactly like it is, and maybe sometimes even with the same yarn that the pattern is shown in. Mm-hmm. And I want to see people branch out from that and play with their knitting, because knitting is such a wonderful thing to play with. It's a very, you know, small, especially like socks, but even if it's a bigger object like a sweater, it's not, you know, an infinite amount of work. There's a finite amount of work there. And if you don't like it, you can always give it away or, you know, frog it out and knit something else. So I want people to not be afraid to play with their knitting.
So it sounds like you're a rather adventurous knitter.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, when you hang out with Kat, she does rub off on you a bit.
That's not a bad thing.
Kat is a wonderful person.
Yeah. What tools do you have in your knitting bag that you couldn't live without?
The one thing that I really can't live without is this marvelous tool that is a crochet hook on one end and a dental pick on the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love that tool. So if I ever lost that, probably I would have to stop knitting. I don't know. Well, I would maybe not go that far. I love that. I also have, I almost always, although not today, have a Nastapin with me mm-hmm. because I always wind my yarn by hand.
Always, always?
Always, always.
Wow. Is it because you like the aesthetic?
I like the feel of the yarn in my hands. Mm-hmm. I like the control of winding it that way. I can control exactly how tight the yarn gets wound mm-hmm. or loose. And I find that the balls that are wound by hand stay together better.
Hmm.
So, you know, even though I wind center pull balls, they don't fall apart at the end. They just, you know, hold together and they're easy to knit with.
Excellent. Do you have a favorite sock yarn that you like to work with?
Oh, I love many, many, many sock yarns.
Do you have a top five?
Top five. I love Koigu.
Mm-hmm.
I love Lorna's Laces.
Mm-hmm.
Cherry Tree Hill. It's very nice.
Yep. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you like the ones that are all wool and don't have any nylon in them.
I do, but not all of them. I'm knitting right now with a yarn from a local Portland dyer, Stitch Jones, mm-hmm. and it's a yarn that's wool and nylon, and I've knit with her yarn before, and in fact, she's selling one of my patterns, this
awesome.
Knit with her yarn, and I really love it, and her colors are wonderful.
They are. We saw some of it yesterday mm-hmm. at Twisted.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. We took an adventure, so.
Yeah.
So what are you working on right now? What do you have on the needles?
Right now on my needles, with me is a pair of socks.
Mm-hmm.
There's another pair of socks at home. There may be two more pair of socks at home, actually. I'm not a monogamous knitter. I have, you know, the socks and a couple of shawls and a blanket and, you know, some other things. On my blog, in the sidebar, there I have my sidebar of shame, which lists all of the projects that are currently on my needles.
Now, do you keep track of your victories as well when you finish them?
Yes, I do.
Excellent.
I do. I'm a process knitter, so to me, the process is more important than actually having the finished object. And although I like to have the finished object, if I'm not enjoying the process, I don't want the object. I'd rather, you know, stop and start with something else.
That's an excellent approach. Mm-hmm. Now, because you're a process knitter and you don't fear ripping, do you have any incidences where your knitting has attacked you horribly?
Oh, yes. I knit a Noro sweater. It's a jacket, actually. And I was on the last sleeve all the way almost to the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked down and towards the cuff, just above the cuff, I saw what looked like a hole. And so I, you know, picked it up and kind of tweaked around with the gauge a little. And for a while, I was kind of in denial. And I said, oh, I can fix, you know, this is just a little gauge issue, no problem. And then I finally, you know, had to look at it harder. And I realized that what I'd done was pick it up one night when I was probably really tired and knit back the wrong direction. So I had a short row in the, you know, that went halfway down through the cuff,
mm-hmm.
all the way down at the beginning.
Oh.
And I really debated what to do. It was way too far to ladder down and try to get it out that way. And I just could hardly stand to rip out a foot of sleeve. So in the end, I cut out the short row and then Kitchenered it back together.
Clever.
So I figured if I really, really ruined it, the worst that could happen would be I'd have to frog it out and re-knit it. So
you had nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose, right.
So let's talk about your mac and cheese recipe, which is on your blog when we were doing the research.
Oh, my mac and cheese recipe?
Yeah. That was, it seemed kind of, I mean, it sounds awesome, and we're going to make it next week when I get home. But we were hunting around looking for stuff, and like we mentioned earlier, when we used a little bird called Google to do some research on you guys before we talked, my girlfriend was like, and there's a mac and cheese recipe. So where did that originate from? Is there a reason it's on your blog, or just because it's awesome?
I think somebody asked me for it, so I posted it up there because it was easier than trying to remember to email it. So there's several recipes that are on my blog. Some of them are old family recipes. The mac and cheese recipe was just sort of grew over time, you know, what my family liked or didn't like. And posting them on my blog made it easy to share it with people rather than having to go dig it out every time.
That's a great idea.
And it's good macaroni and cheese.
It looked good. We were looking at the recipe, and if it hadn't been so close to the Sauk Summit.
Yes.
There wasn't a whole lot of cooking going on at our house the week before I left. So.
And I would also highly recommend the candied sweet potatoes, because that is an old, old family recipe that came down from, like, my great-grandmother. Or, you know, I don't know. It's been in my family for generations. People that do not like candied sweet potatoes love those.
I'll have to try them.
Yes, definitely try them. They're very good. You know, I've asked the students in my magic cast on classes to bring either one or two circs to learn on. I think it's harder to learn it on DPNs. It's very possible to do it on DPNs, but I think it's a little harder to learn that way. And I didn't want my students to fight with their tools at the same time that they're trying to learn a new technique. So I would recommend people trying to learn it use circs.
Now, you've got, I think, double points in your hair?
Oh.
Are you a double point knitter? Are you a two circ scal?
I totally forgot that these were here.
They give you away.
These are actually... No.
They're proper hair sticks.
They're food skewers from a Japanese restaurant. Kat Bordy was handing them out to all of the teachers at the world record.
Oh, nice.
So everybody had, you know, two needles to knit with. And I actually brought a set of straight needles. So I just stuck these in my hair and then forgot they were there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you a double point knitter? Are you a two circs? Are you a magic looper?
I am a two circ knitter. I use double pointed and I use magic loop, but I prefer two circs.
Awesome. Any specific reason?
Nope. That's just what I like. And in my classes, there's a 4-week sock class that I teach locally. Mm-hmm. And in those classes, I often have students who have used neither Magic Loop nor Two Circs. And I have them try both ways. And I have found that people who really love Magic Loop find Two Circulars to be fiddly.
Mm-hmm.
And people who really love Two Circs find Magic Loop to be fiddly. And they use that word.
Yeah.
You know. So I have everybody try both ways so that they can find which they prefer.
That's awesome. That's actually a really great way of doing it, because if you start fresh and you don't have any ideas.
Right. And I think everybody should try DPNs too.
Yeah.
You know, you should know how to use all of the tools.
Yep. Different, the right tool for the right job.
Exactly. And they all make wonderful knitting. You know, every type of needle will make loops through loops with strings. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter what it is you're using if that's what you're comfortable with.
You can find everything mentioned in this week's episode on our show notes, which are located at knitmoregirlspodcast.com, and you can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, Jasmine, Jasmin, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, Gigi, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Everlaps as Knitmore Girls. And we have a great Ravelry group full of interesting people, and you should absolutely be a part of it.
This is Judy,
Jasmine,
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.